Hello, church friends and family. If you guys do not know yet, I am the new student pastor here at FCC. And for those of you that have kids down there at middle school, we have it covered. I'm not down there, but we do have it covered, I promise you. So last week, we talked about peace. And Adam told us that that peace is only attainable with the relationship with Jesus. Now today, we're talking about patience. And with patience, there's another word that I believe that coincides, and that word is tension. And so you're probably wondering why my good friend Jerry is still on stage. He's out here for a reason. Don't get worried. He hasn't forgot that we're done playing music. But he's out here for a reason to give you an illustration of what tension in patience is musically. So right now, he's going to play a chord for us. It's pretty. No tension. It's wonderful. What happens when he plays a chord right next to it? A little icky. We don't like that. And for us, when we hear music, we want the tension to be resolved. And most of the time, music does that pretty well. But I think the best way to illustrate this is if he does this by a musical scale. Oh, who's dying of anxiety that he didn't finish the musical scale? Because I know I am. I know it's going to kill me. But we want to give a thank you to Jerry because he's going to leave us with that tension. And I'm sorry for that, but let's jump right in. We got to live in the tension. If we want to live out the fruits of the Spirit, we must wrestle with the tension of patience. As we talk about patience today, I want to bring you to three areas that we must be patient in. And the first is we have to be patient with our pain. So let me read Psalm 22, 1 through 8. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from my cries and my anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the one Israel praises. In you, our ancestors put their trust. They trusted in you and you delivered them. To you they cried out and were saved. In you they turned to and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. David is overwhelmed. David is pressed. He has so much displeasure inside of him. He has this terror and grief on his forefront of his mind. He's crying for relief. He's unhelped and he's unheard. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever been in a position where you were crying out to God and you thought all hope was lost? Me too. I know some of you are thinking it in your heads. Me too. As I describe being patient with pain, I want to talk about lamenting. For those of you wondering what lamenting is, it is a biblical lament is very honest and redemptive. This is not a natural thing in our Western culture. We don't know how to be in pain. Another way that Todd Billingsley puts it is, lament is the honest cry of a hurting heart wrestling in the paradox of pain with the promise of God's goodness. So why is it important to be patient with pain? Pain is an important part of our past. If we do not lament in the moment and be patient in the healing process, we are destined to recreate the past as something different in our heads in the future. So if you're curious what that means, let me give you an example. Let me set the scene. I'm a 7-year-old, and as a young 7-year-old, it was me and my middle sister, we're out playing, being kids. She had a friend over, and we're just exploring. I don't exactly know where we were, what we were doing, but we found ourselves in a very tense moment. I immediately felt pain, and that pain was being pushed in the back, And then all of a sudden my hand fell onto a nail. The nail was in my hand and my sister pushed me. Now, contrary to this pain that I felt, she to this day tells the story very differently. She says that I threw a stick and I tripped and fell onto the nail and that it was my fault that I was in pain. Well, that story is very heavily debated. So the moral of the story is if we aren't patient for the truth in our pain, we will undoubtedly recreate a new story in our mind. So why must it be important that we are patient, that we are patient with our pain? Two, pain is an important part of today, the present, our everyday life. Let me give you another example. This story does not depict anyone. It's a made-up scenario with real-life consequences. We all know that sin can carry a very heavy burden. I think that we can all attest to that. So it's a 21-year-old college student. He is studying business, isn't really sure what he wants to do in life. But he's an average church attender. He gets very close with a mentor, and they begin discussing life. The student speaks of his sins and idly passes it off. The mentor walks with him and starts to see a transformation taking place. The one thing about this student is that he is a product of this generation, the here and now. What does that mean? He's an instant consumer. He is someone that wants instant gratification now. And we all know that we're that way. We know that we can order something online and we can click same day delivery. We're an instant consumer. And so because of that, that's just the nature of the beast. In his impatience, he doesn't see the immediate change that he wants. So he kind of pushes it down. And one thing this 21-year-old was not aware of is that every choice we make is determining who we are tomorrow. So think of it this way. We have a line, and on this side we have Jesus, and on the other side we have the world. And everything in between here is our decisions that we make. So every choice that we make is either moving us closer to Jesus, or it's actually moving us further away. It's as simple as that. The college student had an opportunity to be patient in pain with his transformation. He had all the time in the world to work through this. So because of his impatience, let's fast forward. It is 30 years later. He's a CEO of a large successful company that he created. A story is released about how he's been in an affair for 5 years. Pause. Time out. Do you remember what I said about every decision you make moves you closer or further away from Jesus? If he would have taken a moment and been patient with the sin that would have only affected a very small community at the time, 30 years earlier. But those choices that he thought seemed so harmless in the present, it was easy for him to fail 30 years later. So back to our story. The man has a much larger impact on the community. He has now brought shame to his wife, his children, and everybody else involved. He has completely dismantled his life. So what's the moral of this story? Wherever you are in life right now, be patient in your pain. Work through the pain and let Jesus transform you. Like I said, every decision you make determines who you are tomorrow. So why is it important to be patient in your pain? Number three, the patience with pain is an important part of our future. As you know, Christians hope differently. We know our future is different. David knew his future was different from those who ridiculed him. Who else knew this? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. You know what that's Aramaic for? Does it sound familiar? If it does, it's when Jesus was in pain. It's when he thought all hope was lost. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He quoted Psalm 22. He understood where David was coming from, but he hoped for the future. Let me reread 7 and 8, and I'm going to jump right into 9 and 10. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you, even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast on you. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Did you hear that word? Yet. The psalm is a lament to God in pain, but is followed with the hope of tomorrow. We know what 1 Thessalonians 5 says. We know about the day of the Lord. We know that in this day that he will come like a thief at night. We know that. But we have a hope of a new tomorrow. So if you're listening and wondering when, as you are longing in pain and you might feel that the world is falling apart, know that the world has always been in shambles. The world has always been in pain. The most important part we can do is be patient in that pain and long for the new tomorrow and tell him about that one who will bring it. So in our pain, we must be patient with our past, our present, and our future. If we want to live out the fruits of the Spirit, we must wrestle in the tension of patience. The second thing I want to talk about is probably the hardest for me. That's being patient with people. And I know that my family who's listening is making a bombacious amen. Amen to that. He's right. That's what he struggles with. Well, it's true. And I want to tell you another story to illustrate that. But I think I know the exact situation where my impatience was rooted in. Let me tell you about my older sister. Now, a lot of these stories have to do with a birth narrative, a birth order, how we came into this world. Well, I am the youngest of three. Anybody else, is that the case? Do we have any babies in here? Yeah, a few of you. Okay, so you know my pain, you know my struggle. And if you're an older sibling, I'm sorry, I don't get it, I don't relate. But for you babies that are in here and you babies that are listening, know that I understand where you're coming from. My older sister thought I was annoying, you know, of course, all younger siblings are. So she was 8 years older than I was. And her and some friends were over. I was being that annoying, obnoxious brother. That's what we do. That's all out of love. And she thought that she could scare the annoying out of me. Well, that doesn't work. But the way that she did it, she thought that she was going to scare me by saying she was going to pour Dawn dish soap in my mouth. Well, she takes the Dawn dish soap, calls me in the kitchen, and acts like she's going to pour it in my mouth, just trying to scare me. Well, what she didn't realize is that lid was actually open. And what she didn't do was pour it in my mouth. What she did do was she dumped a heavy pour into my eyes. Oh, and this story's not debated like the last one. This one is true. Believe me, I am someone who is very dramatic, so my parents knew something was wrong. And of course, like all babies, we got our way. It was in this moment that I believe the temper of a little hunter was born. This led to a lot of impatience down the road. Regardless of the situation, I think that we can all agree people are difficult. And sometimes it can be extremely hard to be patient. Let me tell you about someone whom Jesus was very patient with. You can probably even guess who it is. Peter. Yeah, good old Peter. Someone we can relate to very easily. Jesus was very extremely patient with Peter. Let me give you a list put together by Chris Sarris. These are 12 major instances that Jesus had great patience with Peter. So one, Peter doesn't understand the four soils. He's confused. Just like us, Jesus instructs him in the meaning of the parables without rejection. Two, Peter and his other disciples misinterpret Jesus' words about yeast of the Pharisees. And Jesus repeats the phrase until they understand it. Three, Peter and the other disciples keep trying to get the children away, but Jesus is indignant and teaches them once again, does not rebuke them. Four, Peter fails to continue to walk on water. He doubted. But with a little discipline, Jesus instructs him, but no rejection. Five, Peter was filled with selfish ambition, outright sin. He argues with the other disciples, and he says, who is the greatest among us? Jesus instructs them like little children. Does he melt down? No. Is he frustrated with them? Yeah. But there's no rejection. Jesus instructs them. Number six, Peter speaks up in a holy moment. On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Moses and Elijah appear to talk to Jesus about his departure, no one is talking to Peter, but he suggests that he, James, and John should build three shelters for the very presence. But God the Father said, in patience, this is my son who I love, and with him I am very well pleased. Listen to him. Number seven, Peter speaks for Jesus, consulting him, and commits Jesus to pay a tax. Are you tired yet? Because I know I am. I have five more to go. And I'm tired of saying how many times Jesus was patient with Peter. Number eight, Peter resists the single greatest reason that Jesus became human. To atone for the sin of the human race. Jesus rebukes Peter in that moment. Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have the mind and the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. However, note, Jesus does not reject Peter. He doesn't even demote him from leading the church. Number nine, Peter resists Jesus when he says he's going to wash Peter's feet. No, Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus instructs Peter, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. 10, Peter fails to stand by Jesus' side and falls asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Right before Jesus is killed, Jesus finds them sleeping and instructs them and disciplines them. He says, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Pray that you may not fall into temptation. Jesus does not reject them. Last two, Peter denies Jesus three times. Jesus restores Peter. And the final, Peter is completely overwhelmed in sin. And in his own self-discovery and weakness, he quits the apostles' team. He goes back to work that he feels like he can do. He goes back to be a fisherman until Jesus restores. Jesus was very patient with Peter. Did he get frustrated with him? Absolutely. Did he get irritated? Sure. Did he say, I cannot deal with you any longer, you just don't get it? No, what Peter was met with was an abundance of patience. So why is that important for right now? Well, as you all are aware, we live in a very divisive time. I'm not up here giving you the answer on what you should or shouldn't believe. But what I will say is this is not a time to be impatient. This is not a time to be burning bridges left and right with our neighbors. This is a time to be patient with people. This is a time where we must be listening. This is a time where we must be patiently sitting with those who we consider the opposition. This is a time we have to be patient. We have to know that these people are not the enemy. These who we consider the opposition on any side, they are only products of the enemy. So why must we be patient with people? Let me read Acts 2, 38 through 41. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Peter gave the greatest sermon that day. Jesus was patient with Peter. He walked with him, and he molded him. Like you heard me say, Peter messed up over and over and over and over again. He did not give up on him, but he actually told Peter, you are whom I will build my church on. Jesus has not given up on you. He continues to be patient with you and me every single day. We must be patient with our brothers and sisters. If we want to live out the fruits of the Spirit, we must wrestle with the tension of patience. As I come to my third and final point, we must be patient with prayer. So let me read Luke 18, 1 through 8. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming for him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because of this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night, who will keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, he will find faith on the earth. I wish that I could pray like that persistent widow. I wish that could be my heart. I know a woman like this, and you don't know her, and I don't have enough time to give you a background on her, but her name's Miss B. Warren. Miss B. Warren was very impactful in my life. Miss B. has been praying for me and two others very specifically for a very long time, and I am grateful for it, and she is a widow that I long to be. And this final point is a must. There's no way around it. You might be able to dance around being patient in pain and being patient with people, but this, being patient with prayer, is a must. When we are patient, we can move mountains. When we are patient with prayer, we have the opportunity to intercede for our neighbor. When we are patient with prayer, we are in constant conversation with our Lord. Let me tell you this final story and I'm done. It's about George Mueller. George Mueller was in charge of an orphanage in England. He was another prayer warrior. He wrote in 1844, five friends. He wrote in his journal, five friends' names that weren't believers. And he prayed for them every single day by name. He wrote after 18 months, the first one, come to know Jesus. And then he wrote again. He continued to pray. 5 years later, number two comes to know Jesus. And as he continued, 6 years later, another one came to know Jesus. He prayed and prayed every single day by name. And he wrote in his journal, he did not stop praying for the last two. He said, they are not converted yet, but they will be. I hope in God and I pray on. And that was 36 years later that he wrote that. And then 52 years later, the last two surrendered their life to Jesus. 52 years. How patient are you with your prayers? 52 years. Like I said, we have to be patient with our prayers. We have to be that persistent widow. I encourage you to be like George Mueller. I encourage you to write down names and pray for them every single day. Friends, as I close, let me remind you that if we want to live out the fruits of the Spirit, we must wrestle with the tension of patience. Patience with our pain, patience with people, and patience with prayer. Let me pray. We come to you, God, and we just want to give you the glory. We want to say thank you for giving us this life. And we want to take all of our burdens, all of our baggage, and we want to lay it at the foot of the cross. Lord, let us humble ourselves to that. And let us go out and be patient when we don't want to be patient. Lord, we know it's hard. I pray over this congregation. Lord, in your Son's holy name, amen. Thank you all. You all are dismissed. Go in peace.